I've got a victory living inside of me. I got the greater one. I can overcome. This ain't no time to turn back, no place to grow slack. I gotta keep pressing on till every battle is won.
Good morning, class. Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School's the place where my spirit is fed, where my faith grows stronger, and where I learn how to be an overcomer. It's important to feed your faith. You want to starve your doubts and feed your faith. And nothing will feed your faith like God's faith food, His Word, His anointed Word, His written Word, the Word quickened by His Spirit. And so we've saved you a place. This is your chair right here. And you come on in, and the way we want to do this is not that we're coming into your room. We want you to come into our room and turn off every other distraction. Give this your full attention, just a few minutes, and you will be helped. Things will begin to change and go the right direction. Father, we thank you so much that you are so faithful. You never fail. You never change. And you have helped us again and again and again. And so we present ourselves before you, all of us today. Everywhere that anyone's joining us, you're not limited by time or space. We agree together asking for answers, asking for direction, as only you can. You know how to minister to all of us simultaneously at the same time. Only you can do that. And so we're asking for eyes and ears and hearts that can see and hear and understand. And we purpose to respect your word and to not be hearers only, but to put it into practice, to act on it. And we know as surely as we do that, you will watch over your word and perform it in our lives. You will bring it to pass. And we say, Lord, do so to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
We've been on a series for a number of weeks now that we're calling Faith for Provision. Like we've said before, you know, faith works the same in every area, but it's not developed the same in all areas. If you got strong faith that, you know, God is real and that Jesus paid the price for your sins and you're born again and you're on your way to heaven, that's because you've heard that. That's been preached. You've heard it. But that doesn't mean you have any faith to be healed if you haven't heard God's word about healing. And you could have faith for healing, but if you've never heard about God's will in provision, you don't have faith then to pay your bills or faith to get out of debt or that kind of thing. Whatever you need faith in, you need to hear the word in that area. And thank God there's lots in the word. I've heard people say, well, there's nothing in the Bible about finances. Well, you haven't spent any time in the Bible because there's so much in there. And it's a big thing with God that we put Him first in every area, including finances, including material things. And He wants to have a part. You know, one individual said he thought if people were honest, that when they got baptized in water, they'd hold their wallet out as they went down because they're not sanctifying that part of their life to Him. Well, how many think the Lord should be in every part of your life, including your pocketbook, right? Yeah. Do we need His help in that area?
Yes.
Oh, you know you do. So we've begun a series and a study, reason by reason, point by point, 30 reasons why we are sure. Reasons from the Scripture, not man's opinion. Reasons from the Bible why we are sure abundant provision is always God's will for us all. Now, that's a big statement, I know. But based on what? Like I said, not one, not two, not 10. We're giving you 30 things from the Word of God, and that's not exhaustive at all. But just to see, this is not an isolated thought. This is all through the Word of God that He is our provider. He is. And He wants you to have abundant provision. You know, the Bible said in Luke 12 and also in Matthew 6, He talks about don't worry about what you're going to eat and wear and all those things, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And He said all these things, He said the Father knows you have need of all these things, and all these things will be added to you. Does He want you to have all these things, what you eat, what you wear, where you live? Does He want you to have it? He said He did. He said it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the whole kingdom. But He wants you to put Him first. Not seeking the money, not seeking the things, but seeking Him. And He said, if you seek Me and My kingdom first, I'll see to it that all these things that the world's running after, the necessities and desire for good things, that will be added to you. Say it out loud. Father God, help me to see the priority of Your kingdom and how to put Your things first. First place every day in my life. Amen. That's our part. Then He said, if and when you do that, He's going to add to you the things that, you know, everybody else is looking for. Well, we've already gone through several of these reasons. And if you haven't been with us, let me encourage you, go online, faithschool.org. And there are hundreds of messages on faith leading up to this, including the first, I guess it's 12 now, 12 points or 12 reasons in our 30. And it would help you because we're building on what's gone before. Our first one was, the Lord is my shepherd. What's the rest of that? Psalm 23:1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That same word translated want, the same King James Bible's translated lack. I shall not lack. Go ahead, everybody, say it. The Lord is my shepherd.
The Lord is my shepherd.
I shall not lack.
I shall not lack.
Well, now, is it God's will for me to lack?
No.
Doesn't sound like it, right? And that's what we went into some detail talking about. We're sure God wants us to have abundant provision because He is our good shepherd. The second reason was the goodness of God. The third was the fatherhood of God. The fourth was the creation of God. The fifth was God's will in heaven. And we spent, you know, numerous classes on each one of these. And the next was the God of Abraham. And then we are the seed of Abraham. And then the blessing of tithing. He told us if you'll tithe and put Him first, that the Lord would pour out abundance on you and He would protect you. Mm-hmm. Rebuke the devourer. That doesn't sound like lack. No. That doesn't sound like being broke, right? And also, he talks about honor and riches, that if you would honor the Lord, He would honor you. We talked about wisdom and wealth. You know, one of the things that will help your finances enormously is just quit being dumb. just quit. Stop doing dumb stuff, right? Now, don't raise your hand, but has anybody ever done something dumb that cost you? Yeah, we have. Well, if you just quit that, your finances immediately improve. And so wisdom and wealth. And then we talked about being imitators of God. And then our last one, number 12, was the great I am. Talking about the Lord said, you know, to Moses and then to the people, I am has sent you. He said, you tell them rather, I am has sent me. I am that I am, and that is, I exist. And coupled with that is, He is the God who does not change. Malachi 3:6, He said, I am the Lord, I don't change, and that's why you're not consumed. Aren't you glad that you don't have to go day to day wondering what kind of mood God's in?
Oh, yeah.
Right? Or, you know, is he for me today? Or is he against me today? Or, He, Jesus Christ, the same. Yesterday, today, forever. The Father does not change. And we're still going to be talking about some of that same idea. But we're going on today to number 13 in our study. And that is the redemptive names of God. The redemptive names of God. Now, look with me, if you would, in Isaiah, the 12th chapter. We'll go to Isaiah 12, and then we'll also go to Psalm 68. Go from one to the other. But the Lord has revealed himself by his names, and there are numerous names that he has revealed himself by, and we won't endeavor to do an exhaustive study. That would be a whole series on its own that would take significant time to cover properly. But we're talking about faith for provision and how revelation of his names reveals this to us. His names are given from him to us to tell us who he is, what he is, what he values, what he emphasizes and prioritizes, what he does. And so anything, if anyone suggests that God's will is different from one of his names, you know that's wrong. Can you see what we're talking about? So whatever he reveals in his names, and like we saw on our previous study with talking about I am that I am, nobody has a right to say that the I am used to be, that he was, or that he has changed. And like we've mentioned before, truth is absolutely consistent. Just like we're saying, Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. Well, he said, I am the way, the truth. You could say it like this, the truth the same yesterday, today, and forever. Well, by contrast, something that's not true by nature of what it is cannot be consistent. The more you examine it, you're going to find inconsistencies, incongruities, things that don't match, things that don't line up. A lie cannot be consistent by nature of what it is. But the truth and God's word is truth. And it is forever settled, and it is purified many times. It'll never need improvement. It'll never need adjustment. It will always be the same, and it'll always be good and right. Well, God has revealed himself by his names given us in his word. In Isaiah, the 12th chapter and verse 2, it says, behold, God is my salvation. Now, the word God is oftentimes the name El, or it could be Elohim. But again, one of the names that describes God. God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength. Now, Jehovah is also the eternal one, the self-existent one. But the Lord reveals himself through what we call compound redemptive names. He, in the original, it would say Jehovah this, or Jehovah another name, revealing that he is the eternal God, the self-existent one that does this. And there are, I'm thinking, a 9 of these right now. And that's not exhaustive. There are others. But, for instance, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Shammah, Jehovah Shalom. These are some of his names. And anytime he has revealed this to us, again, it's going to forever be that way. There'll never be a time when anybody could say correctly, well, he used to be that, but he's not that anymore, or he's changed, or that he's a respecter of persons. He's that for some people, but not for everybody. Not true. I said, not true. He is the same. Amen?
Yes.
And he's no respecter of persons. He has said that many, many times. The Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. He is the God who saves. And then he saves in every area that you need to be saved in. Which is why when he says Jehovah this, he's the Lord who saves you from this. Well, when you say that simple phrase, I'm saved, you said a bunch. Because saved from what? And if you'll look up the word in the New Testament, for instance, it's oftentimes the Greek word sozo. And it's translated actually saved, healed, delivered, multiple different things. Why? Because being healed is being saved from the sickness.
Yes.
Saved from disease. And when you say, I'm saved, the Lord saved me. He saved you. He not only saved you from your sin, he not only saved you from judgment, he not only saved you from hell, he saved you from all the works of darkness. He saved you from every evil thing. Come on, somebody say, I'm saved.
I'm saved.
The Lord has saved me.
The Lord has saved me.
Hallelujah. Jehovah, the Lord has saved me. And so that's what we're going to be talking about. Now in Psalm 68, if you'd turn and look there, he had said what we just got through reading, the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Oh, aren't you glad he's the Lord who saves? Ooh, I mean, if he wasn't, wouldn't be anything we could do about it. And we couldn't be saved because we couldn't save ourselves. If he didn't save us, we'd be lost, hopeless. But he is, that's his nature. He's not a God, a Lord who just wants to wipe his hands of you. He's not a Lord who just says, you know, I'm not interested in saving you. You know, you're hopeless. You're a lost cause. No, he delights in showing mercy. And he looks at even the worst cases and says, I can save that. I can save that. I can bring that all the way back. Hallelujah. To new and shiny. Glory to God. That's Jehovah, the Lord who saves. Hallelujah. In Psalm 68 and 18, it says, you have ascended on high. You have led captivity captive. You have received gifts from men. This is quoted in the New Testament. Ephesians, I believe it is. And in referencing the Lord, the Master Jesus. He goes on to say, verse 19, blessed be the Lord. Now this is the word Adonai or Adonai. And if you're a Hebrew scholar, and I mispronounce some of these words, I don't claim to be a Hebrew scholar. But if you read after some of these, experts in the language, you'll find some of them vary in their pronunciation. It's kind of like one person said that years ago, Brother Smith Wigglesworth, who didn't have a formal education, his wife Polly taught him how to write, they said. And he had written a letter to a fellow minister. And the young minister was with some education, and next time he saw him, he said, Brother Smith, he said, that letter you sent me, he said, yeah, he said, you spelled Holy Spirit 8 different ways in that letter. He said, but did you understand? He said, yeah, he said, that's all. So the big thing, I mean, you could pronounce it right and not understand it, right? And what good does that do anybody? So we're believing the Lord to help us understand who he is, right? Who he is. Well, he is Jehovah. He is Adonai, the Lord. And you can say it like this: Jehovah is Adonai. And that is Jehovah, the self-existent God who saves, is Lord. Is a way of saying that Jehovah is Adonai. And notice, blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits. Even the God of our salvation. Now we're talking about his names. Do his names tell us something about him? Something that's eternal, something that's unchanging, something that's true for everybody the same. Well, does he want you to have any benefits?
Yes.
That's part of him. That's who he is. He is the Lord who loads you.
Yes.
He wants to load you up, right? Not with problems, not with griefs and sorrows, benefits. Benefit something good. Benefits. Somebody said out loud,
he is the Lord
who loads me
daily
with benefits.
The
God of my salvation. Hallelujah. Who is this? This is Adonai, Jehovah, the God of my salvation. Hallelujah. Who daily loads me with benefits. You better get started. Getting your load today, is that right? Huh? Getting loaded up. Now, this is not just loaded for you. He wants every one of us to be a distribution point.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
Loaded with way more than what we need to help others.
Yes.
That he can minister to others through us and by us. So we need to take off the restrictive ideas, the limiting ideas, and this thing, well, you know, God might not want you to have much. He might want you to experience some lack. Well, now, hold on. He used to be the Lord that loads you with benefit. Is that right? I'm seeing an inconsistency here, right? Which means something's not right. Somebody's got a wrong idea. He, verse 20, he is our God, Elohim, is the God of salvation, not the God of destruction. He's the God of salvation, not the God of destroying you, but the God of saving you. Is there destruction in poverty and lack? Oh man, it brings pressure into relationships. A lot of marriages didn't survive. And a big part of it was money pressures, money problems, and pressure on the grandparents and the kids, and pressures to do things on the job people shouldn't do. And money pressures are real. And the loss of it, loss of your home, being kicked out of your apartment, losing your car, whatever. This is not a blessing. This is not salvation. This is destruction. This is loss. Is God the God of loss, the God of destruction, the God of lack? No, he's not. He's the Lord who loads us with benefits. Hallelujah. Did I write this? No. He daily loads us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. He is our God. He that is our God is the God of salvation, and unto God Jehovah, the Lord Adonai, belong the issues from death. It is such a sad thing that there are people starving to death on the earth today for just lack of simple food, lack of a nutritious meal. That is a heartbreaking reality. Is that the will of God? Is he working something out in their life?
Yeah.
It's resulting in death. The Lord's will is not death.
Yeah.
He's not willing that any should perish. Now, what people say, well, why is he letting it happen? That's the wrong question. That's the wrong question. A lot of times what's sad is that the actions of parents and grandparents are affecting children and grandchildren. Sometimes generations ago, people forsook God. They rejected God. They replaced Him with idols and false gods. And it's not that God is doing this to them. It's just that they do not have God's help. They don't have His protection. They don't have His provision. And it's not His fault. They're the ones that rejected Him. God does not owe people provision and help that have rejected Him and replaced Him with a false god. And it's not that He doesn't want to, but He's not going to force people against their will. And you can be sure of this, anywhere on the earth, at any time, you can be in the deepest ditch and the most filthy spot and the most, you know, abject poverty, but anybody that'll look up from where they are and call on the living God, hallelujah, He will bring you out. The psalmist talks about He brings people out of the garbage dump and sits them with princes. That's His will. That's His plan. All the time. He's always been that way. He will always be that way. And He's that way with anybody and everybody that will believe Him. He is Jehovah, the God of salvation, the Lord Adonai, who daily loads us with benefits, the God, not of our destruction, the God of our salvation. Come on, say it out loud, fellow believers, say, I confess Jesus as my Lord, the Lord of my salvation, my God Jehovah is the one who saves me, from all destruction and from all death. He is the God, eternal God, unchanging God of my salvation. Oh, hallelujah. 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 In Psalm 54:1, he tells us that the name is actually the agency of salvation. He says, Psalm 54:1, save me, O God, by your name. By that name, Jehovah. By that name, Jehovah Rapha. And all the names we're going to see. Our time's up again already. Said out loud, I live by faith. I walk by faith. I overcome the world by faith. I am strong in faith, giving glory to God. You keep talking like that, good things are going to happen for you. Well, come back tomorrow. There's a lot more to see here. We just got this introduced today, and we'll see you soon back here in Faith School. I've got the victory
living inside. Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.